to you now for the same question we were just asking Connie and Bryson, which is, what did you feel, what was your reaction when you heard about President Biden's decision not to run and then his subsequent announcement of his endorsement of Vice President Kamala Harris?
All right. Well, first, I just want to say hi to y'all and miss y'all. It's good to hear your voice and Daryl's as well. Much love to both y'all and all the work that y'all do over there and across the country. And how I felt. First, this is a kind of follow up with what Connie was saying. I was actually in the backyard doing some yard work at my aunt's house. And one of my best friends was calling me back to back. Says, you know, he works, you know, we do a lot of voting rights and voting work over here. And I was at first, I figured once I seen a couple people like Schumer and Jeffries step up, that's when I started to see things was going getting real serious. So it shocked me, but it really didn't shock me because I was feeling the energy that was being displayed through the media and how people were reacting across different platforms. But at the same time, once I heard that, I knew it was going to be a rejuvenation coming across the country because of the different groups that were looking for a change when it comes to who was at the front line. Mr. Biden, President Biden, has done amazing work rejuvenating the country again just after the pandemic and what we had went through with that. So seeing him, you know, take up and show strong leadership in that area, but also being man enough and being a leader enough to, you know, step aside and, you know, bring new life into the party for his bring new life into the party. This is something that, you know, was hard, but for me, it was just, you know, something I see as a turn in the race.
Yes, and the other question we've been asking everyone, Brian, is how did your peers react? How did the people you were talking with, that you hang with, how did they react to this announcement about this new presidential candidate?
Yeah, so what I've been seeing with the people I've been with the last 3-4 days, or especially, well, really the last 2-3 days, you've seen a lot of people with this new optimism within the race. You see more folks. I've even seen a few people that I know who really don't even donate to any parties or campaigns. A couple of people have shown their donations or even expressed more interest in the run. I have seen the people that I don't hang around with but are just really pessimistic when it comes to politics. They've shown their negative or ugly side towards the change, but a lot of them don't really understand, you know, the business in the politics. They're just going off of face value of what they've seen on the media pertaining to, you know, the new presidential or, you know, the candidate. So I've seen a lot of people with excitement, especially with individuals that I work with in different circles. You see that they're looking forward to seeing what's going to change and, you know, of course, who's going to be in support now with the new candidate on the front line.
Well, it's fascinating, everyone, that I was looking at our good friend, a wonderful pollster that some of you have had the pleasure of actually seeing him in person during our trainings. Terrence Woodbury was giving some polling numbers last night. And what he found in the polling is that 86% of all Democrats are enthusiastic about the Harris nomination. He found an interesting stat that among Black voters, it was 76%. And he explained that part of that clearly was, you know, people reacting to you know, some people feeling really bad about how they feel that President Biden was pushed out of the nomination process, and that African Americans, of course, we have this history of, you know, respecting our elders, and that people weren't happy about the ageism that they thought they saw reflected, but also some carryovers from misinformation, et cetera. But I thought those stats said a lot. And I just recall that even on some of our own social media, before there was announcement of the Harris endorsement, that a lot of people were like really sad and upset that he announced that he was withdrawing. But then once the Harris announcement came, I saw a sea change in the reaction. What do you think, Connie? Did you see the same thing?
Oh, yes, definitely saw a change. People who I see completely gave up on the process, said they weren't even going to vote. And people I was surprised about, because I know that they did believe in the system before and they did try their best to vote and participate, lose hope and just be really pessimistic, as Brian said. And I've seen so much change ignited. People are so excited. They're rejuvenated. They're reignited. It's really powerful to see. I see people who have never even considered voting or don't even care about any of that say that they're going to vote, and that's on social media platforms. Have my kids who can't even vote at this moment. I'm really excited to be able to practice their their right to vote when they turn 18. So it's really awesome.
All right now. And I want to also ask, when you look at this, what do you think it means that you're going to have all these new voters? But before I get to that, Brian and Connie, you both live in the Milwaukee area. How were you affected by the RNC convention? Because I've heard some reports from folks. They've been calling me about how it affected their lives to have that RNC convention in Milwaukee, especially after the nominee and former president Trump had called Milwaukee a bad city. But how did it affect
I don't think bad was the word he used, Barbara. I don't think he used the word bad.
Right, he definitely called us horrible, huh? Right, she's being nice.
So how did it affect the two of you, living? Because I've heard so many stories.
You know what? It's been a while since I've had a weekend and during a week where I haven't went through the downtown area. The only time that I was close to downtown during the RNC was when I was coming back from Chicago at 10 o'clock that night when they were setting up when they pushed the security measurements up a few hours because of some things that had happened up here. But it definitely changed the way that I would move around close to the downtown area. It was a heightened sense of security, not only within that red zone and that yellow zone that they had, which was four blocks really out west, south, and a little bit of north of the perimeter that they set up. You felt the energy change in the city. You could tell a lot of people just by the traffic were avoiding going anywhere close. A lot of people were thrown off by their weekly runs, whether they go to the gym downtown or they just handle business downtown. For me, it was just dealing with the amount of stress from a lot of people from on the outside, talking to people who were concerned about the other law enforcement agencies that were coming in town. At that time, we had 64 agencies from 24 states that were in town, so over 4,000 wow. officers. So, yeah, I know, right? So a lot of people were concerned with that. And, of course, outside of that, you had other organizations that weren't Milwaukee-based that were contracted to do security, like a Waukesha-based security company. So not only did you have police that were overly policing in certain areas, but you also had security officers with police rights or police jurisdiction almost patrolling in a lot of areas. So you felt the energy from a lot of people. A lot of our organization and our partners were stressed out because they had people that worked that were going to be in certain areas and they were feeling for them as well. So that was a lot of the energy that you felt around the city that week.
Wow. And Connie, what about you?
Oh, yes. It was definitely a different type of experience. It felt, it was reminiscent of 2020, very much in Milwaukee, very much of a militarized energy. Very, very much so. And we didn't even do anything, right? So it was very much stressful to the point where we had like a green book type of thing going on for us, how to get around the city of Craigway, how to ride shares on how to get, I even got a ride to work one day just to see what my route looked like. Things like that. Having military tanks and soldiers out with AK-47s two blocks from me, and I don't live in downtown. And it was very much stressful. And I'm glad that it's over. We can have our city back, and you know, we can move around as we do. But it was very much a different type of energy. And it was, I was talking to some of my peers, and we were saying how if you know things continue to change, this may be how we look every day if we don't do our role to vote, because it was very much militarized, and that's not how I feel we should live in America.
Whoa. And you know, and Daryl, you know, I spoke to people who went into their favorite businesses and were shocked to see the emptiness and not downtown quarters. But that it seemed that a lot of folks just, especially after the shooting, the killing of the guy, the gentleman who was involved in the dispute with the other homeless men, that people just stopped going out, that they just grabbed, you know, what they could and bunkered down at home and refused to move out. And it just sounds like it was a strange, horrible, situation for many people. But let's talk one other thing about the RNC. What did you think about the convention itself? Did you watch any of it? Oh, good.
Yes.
Did you watch any of it? Did you have any responses to anything that happened at that convention? As nonpartisan as we can be on this show.
Absolutely. Yeah, I watched this. This is Brian speaking. Yeah, I tune in and see some of the interesting topics. I mean, a lot of it is repetitive, and a lot of it was, you know, things that I've heard them say. You know, of course, it was a little amplified with the assassination attempt on former President Trump. So the energy that you've seen, I think they were expecting a bigger crowd and more receptive crowd in a sense. But I think that they did their best to have the delegates in the room to make up for the lack of some of the audience participation that they had. But some of it, you know, as far as being nonpartisan as possible, it was interesting. Some of the props and costumes that they chose that weekend, and coincidentally, everything seems like it keeps circling back to Milwaukee now that, you know, the assassination attempt was right, you know, right before the RNC convention. And then you have right after that, now you have the president, Joe Biden, stepping to the side and letting Kamala Harris. And currently she's will be speaking in Milwaukee today in about, I guess a couple hours or so. She'll be doing her first rally stop in Milwaukee as well at a local high school. So it seems like right now the spotlight has been on Milwaukee the last 2 weeks, and you see the energy coming from both ends and responses on how people view and feel about the RNC, and of course now that Kamala Harris is being here, so it's a lot of tension on Milwaukee right now, and of course Wisconsin being one of those swing states that helps determine the results of the election. Of course, it all kind of like coincides and correlates. So I'm enjoying the political entertainment from both ends right now, personally seeing both sides amping up their energy, but of course also showing that, you know, it's some resilience on both ends.
Well, we thank you. And, you know, Bryson, just quickly to you, anything that you observed did you watch the RNC convention, and did you have any response that you wanted to share
with our audience.
Yes, I was watching it, and I was just waiting for the unity to be displayed. you know, we were preaching on how we were going to start